Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. I'm Bob. I'm sharing today from a new book that's available at Amazon.com. It's about the rapture or catching up of the saints. I'm addressing the particular theory that's been around now for about 200 years. It's been made popular via books and movies and even the teachings of outstanding scholars, especially in the 20th century. It's called the Pre-Tribulation Rapture. Now, I don't represent any church or denomination in the contents of this book, but I believe that the information I'm about to share with you will make you think twice about this popular teaching. We're on day one, as it were, of a virtual trial. We're bringing people to the witness stand and asking them questions about this theory. And now today, we're bringing to the stand the gospel writer Mark. The prosecution now calls Brother Mark, the nephew of Paul's companion Barnabas. He's the one that left a mission trip, remember, for reasons we aren't totally given. He was then set aside by Paul as an undesirable minister. He was restored by Barnabas, and then eventually to Paul. That's Mark. But the reason we remember his name so much is that he also wrote a biography of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not aware of the human sources of information that he had, other than his friendship later with the Apostle Peter, and much later with Paul. So anyway, Mark, would you please take the stand? Now, Mark, you recorded the conversation that our brother Matthew has just referenced, called the Olivet Discourse. Your words are so remarkably close to his that we won't go over the same material. From the sources you used, is there any reason to believe that Jesus intended to tell the disciples of a secret appearing to them or the later church before the awful tribulation would begin? Mark says, no. No, I'm in agreement with the account that Matthew gave. There was to be an abomination that would signal the end. Incredibly severe conditions would then be present all over the earth. And finally, after that trouble, Jesus would return to earth in great glory and catch his people up to be with him. No, we're in agreement. Well, by the way, then, was your biography... I asked Matthew this too, but was your biography meant just for Jews? Oh, no, not at all. Jesus himself, I quoted at the end of that tribulation chapter as saying, "What I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch." That is interesting. Did not Jesus just say before that these last things that will be happening mean that Jesus is at the very doors? Yes, but even though it may be only weeks or months ahead of them, God's people are still told to watch. Are you suggesting that even people living in the tribulation time are told to watch? Oh, yes. People of all time are told to watch. I see. Your witness. Defense says, I have no questions of Mark. All right, Mark, you may step down. So that's Mark. The prosecution now invites Luke, the beloved physician and traveling companion of Paul, to come forward and be seated. Luke is the author of a Jesus biography as well, and also a history of the early church that we call Acts. Luke, are you a Jewish person yourself? No, I'm of Greek descent. Then it definitely could not be said that you wrote the things that you wrote only for a Jewish audience. Oh, no, that's correct. I spoke largely to the Gentile church, though Jews have read my books from the beginning. Well, I read in your Jesus story, Luke, that actually some of the same words that Matthew and Mark have written. There's this string of events that will happen but will not be the end. Then, while Matthew and Mark speak about an abomination that makes desolate, you speak of the desolation itself. and how it will take place? Luke says, yes. Many have wanted to locate all of this trouble in A.D. 70, when Jerusalem was destroyed. But that was not the end of her problems. If I understood Jesus correctly, Jesus is talking here through me the same way he talked through Matthew and Mark. An unprecedented time of trouble followed by his return. So you would agree with them that there is no hint of a secret return of Jesus for his own before the tribulation time? Oh, agreed. We all tell the same story. Trouble followed by, not preceded by, the coming of the Lord. Well, is it reasonable to you that the disciples would have asked so specific a question about his coming and not received an answer that would cover a pre-tribulation coming? Well, all I can tell you is what I wrote and what they wrote, and for all of us, there is complete silence on the matter you're talking about. Well, as with Matthew, Dr. Luke, I see that in some of your other records, you speak of things that might shed some light on our investigation. Do you not speak of the return of Jesus in your excellent history of the church? Oh, yes, you must be speaking about that first chapter where I quote the words of angels who said that Jesus will come as they saw him go. Yes, exactly. I want to submit to the court that Luke's words tell us that just as Jesus, when he was on the earth, went up from the disciples into heaven, if his words are to be taken literally, and I believe they are, he will come back from heaven and back to earth. This is exactly what other comings of the Lord look like, from heaven to earth, not stopping somewhere in between, going back to heaven, then back to earth. As the prophet Zechariah said in 14:6, we hope to interview him later, by the way. He said, thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with him. Your witness. Defense says, Brother Luke has some serious words that bolster my opinion in this matter. I reserve the right to recall Dr. Luke when I'm presenting my own case. Very well. Then, Luke, for now, you may step down to be ready to come back up. The prosecution calls as its next witness the apostle who is called the apostle of love, but also called a son of thunder, John the Beloved. John, your story of Jesus is quite different from the others. There's essentially no material in your book regarding the future of the church. Yes, that's correct. The other writers have covered that subject quite well. God had other things for me to say. But there was one issue I brought up that might be of interest to you. Yes, and where's that? In my 16th chapter, I quote Jesus as promising to the disciples that they will indeed have tribulation in the world. Defense right away stands up. I object to that term being used in this case. Jesus was only suggesting that all Christians will have trouble at one time or another. Prosecution says, granted, counselor, but I think it is important to enter this evidence, as there seems to be a feeling among many believers, especially in the West, that the Christian life is to be trouble-free. And if it's not trouble-free, somehow that individual has backslidden. And of course, we must decide somewhere the degrees of tribulation that would be considered normal and those that will be experienced in the tribulation. This is a thorny issue. We will deal with it later. John, I see that you do mention the appearing of the Lord in your first letter to the church. Yes, in chapter 3 I mentioned that when Jesus is revealed, we shall see him as he is. Is there any suggestion here that, John, that this revealing is either before or after a coming tribulation? No, not that I know of. It's simply the fact that he is coming. Well, thank you. Now, the greatest service, it seems to me, that the Lord used you in regarding the things to come is not your biography or those three letters, but in the prophecy book that ends the New Testament, what we call the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse. I believe the court would like to know about your trip to heaven and what you saw and heard there. Well, I hope I can be of help, says John. John, in the first place, when you were initially called up to the throne room of God, did you go alone? Well, I'm not sure I understand your question, sir. Well, there are many very able scholars today who are convinced that when you went up to heaven, the whole church went up with you. Is that true? All I can say is my record is true. I was caught up. I saw one on the throne. I saw 24 elders. I saw four living creatures, billions of angels. But I do not remember seeing the entire body of Christ up there with me. Well, at what point do you remember seeing the church in your visions? Well, I recorded, says John, in my seventh chapter, the entry into heaven of an innumerable company of believers who came not by being caught up, but by being overcome by an awful persecution. Immediately before they arrived, they had been hungry and thirsty and overwhelmed by awful heat and tears streaming down their faces. An elder told me that these precious saints had come out of the great tribulation with blood-washed white robes placed on them as they entered. Then the church, John, was on earth during the tribulation time? Well, yes, they only came to heaven by defeat at the hands of the Antichrist, as prophesied earlier in Daniel. There was death, there was slaughter. The same group of white-robed believers are seen then coming back with Jesus when he returns to earth. But isn't it true that in the rest of your book, when you're talking about judgments falling and so forth, you don't mention the church? Oh, I didn't mention the word church, but I did refer to the saints quite often. But could this, I say, John, not have been a special group of believers called saints, just as the Old Testament believers were called saints? John says, well, again, I do not understand the question. Saints are mentioned by most of the New Testament writers, and this usually refers to the Church of Jesus. There are New Testament books written to the church that don't even use the word church. My own books and two letters, for example, I never use the word church. And Mark, he will tell you. Luke, he will tell you. He's in the audience here. 2 Timothy, Titus by Paul, you'll hear from Paul later. 2 Peter, Jude, none of them use the word church. Doesn't prove anything, does it? So you don't believe, John, that God was trying to suggest that there was no church in the future tribulation? Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. Well, thank you for clearing that up anyway. Let me add for the record here that if, as we are told, people are saved during the tribulation time by believing on Jesus, they would then have to be added to the church. All saved people are part of the church and would have to have been snatched up to heaven immediately if they really are part of the church. John, you've mentioned other things in your revelation that give us clues about rapture and so forth. I see that some see a rapture in your 14th chapter. Did you specifically say that the 144,000 Jewish saints were caught up to heaven? No, I looked and I saw them there. How they got there, I never said. I wasn't told. They had been sealed years before. I talked about that in chapter 7. That was on earth. They were sealed, and then suddenly they're in heaven. Well, I see that you didn't say that, John, but let the record show that it seems to me, not John necessarily, but from all that we know of the coming of Jesus and our going to him, that there are only two ways to get to heaven. One is by death, the other is by being caught up to be with the Lord. John, is there anything you have said in the entire book that God gave you that points without question to a catching up to glory of saints other than you and the two witnesses who came back to earth? I'm talking about throughout most of the book. No, I know of such no such place. I hear a lot of speculation, but the statement is not made that any others were caught up to glory than the ones that you mentioned. Then, says the prosecution, I must assume that the Jews in heaven, in chapter 14, have been the victims of a Holocaust worse than anything Hitler could have imagined. We see such a slaughter of the church earlier in the book, the Gentile church. There's no reason to believe that these Jews, even though sealed and protected for a while, are not now the object of Antichrist's final solution against them. This, I believe, is Jacob's trouble. The tribulation is Jacob's trouble that Brother Jeremiah will testify to later. John, after the tribulation period and Jesus' return that you recorded in your 19th chapter, there's a record of the binding of Satan, followed by what is called the first resurrection. What happens at the first resurrection? Well, saints are risen from the dead, says John, to reign with Christ in his kingdom for 1,000 years. Well, John, if this is the first resurrection, could there have been a resurrection before it? John says, again, your question confuses me. First is first. Of course, Jesus is the first to be resurrected, but afterwards, those at his coming will be resurrected in the first widespread resurrection, as our brother Paul mentions in one of his letters. Yes, yes, John. Paul will join us soon, but it is critical here to see that you have testified that the very first resurrection of saints is after Jesus has come to earth. Is this your assertion? Oh, definitely. There's a second resurrection following the 1,000 years. All the dead will then be judged. Yes, yes, I know, John, but the first resurrection. Counselor, do you have any questions of John? No, thank you. Isn't it possible, John, says the defense now, that in all the wonder of being in heaven, surrounded by so many angels and creations of God and God himself, that you simply did not notice the church was there with you? Well, I that seems highly unlikely, sir. I've testified as to when I saw the actual church coming to heaven. May I ask you, John, was your book written in some sort of chronological order? Well, yes, viewed overall. We start at the beginning and we come to the end, but we come to the end in a roundabout way with many close-ups and of prophecies given that seem to go back and retell items in greater detail and clarity. And so really, both of your possibilities are true. That is, it's in chronological order and it's not in chronological order at the same time. Yes, yes. Well, regarding the resurrections, John, is it possible that these two that you saw are merely the last two? That is, a prior and latter resurrection tied to the millennium, but not having to do with times earlier in history, as Paul will cover. Well, I cannot answer that. I wrote what I was given, and I know of only two resurrections. Okay, well, no further questions. You may step down. And as he steps down, we will step away for a while. We will go on next time to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul has a whole lot to say about this. I'm sure you realize that. Thank you so much for sharing with me today. Take a look at my other recordings here on sermonaudio.com/aservant70. There are over 3,500 audios of Christian teaching and readings covering over 200 topics. Well, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.